This is St. Louis Public Radio. In late April, dozens of shots rang out in front of a packed concert venue in St. Louis's South City. Two young men were wounded, but no one died, yet the violence left residents shaken. St. Louis Public Radio's Willis Ryder Arnold reports that the shooting highlights how people try to sort out racial, economic, and cultural tensions in one of St. Louis's upcoming neighborhoods.
It's a quiet afternoon at Yaki's on Cherokee. Owner Francis Rodriguez sits inside. Outside, a neighborhood kid sweeps the sidewalk to earn a personal pizza. The quiet afternoon contrasts with the night of April 30th, when a few hours before close, the sound of gunfire created a scene.
They're still playing music in here. They didn't hear the shots upstairs that are right outside the door. But just as I opened up the back door from our apartment in here, people started raising the alarm in here, and so people started screaming and falling to the floor.
He and his family live above Yaki's, which is half a block east of 2720 Cherokee, where the shooting happened. In the past 2 months, community members have continually discussed how to handle that kind of violent outburst. It's a tricky question for a neighborhood that's grown more popular and seen a slew of new businesses open in recent years. But for some, like Eric Prospect White, the increased attention isn't necessarily a great thing.
You know, they're not asking, what were they doing before I got here and can I help with that? They're saying, I'm here now and this is how it's gonna go.
White agrees that people have a right to safety, but business owners shouldn't dictate what's safe for everyone else. Rodriguez argues that level of violence threatens him, his patrons, and his property. So he feels he has a right to demand more security.
This isn't normal. You know, this is monstrous. This is horrific what people in this neighborhood have to live through.
But White's friend and colleague, Pasha Anderson, says that kind of response from business owners creates friction. People who have lived around Cherokee Street know violence is an issue, and Anderson says it only gets attention when business owners complain.
Because the narrative is, I was offended, I was affected, and because I have a certain status, my voice is the loudest.
White says that disconnect comes from newer residents, patrons, and some business owners' basic lack of understanding the surrounding neighborhood, which has been home for years to mostly working-class Black and Latino families.
Out the gate, I think it's fear. I think it's too many people afraid of other people who think and have totally different backgrounds than themselves, scared to actually make those connections with a different person.
Rodriguez, who's Latino and grew up a few blocks away, sort of agrees. He knows firsthand that people with different racial, ethnic, and class backgrounds don't experience the same Cherokee.
Well, if you've been walking by this area for three, four, 5 years, getting off the bus and walking home now, you're not participating in that party, are you?
But he admits being unsure how to bridge that gap. That's part of Ann McCullough's job as Cherokee Street Liaison. She says the neighborhood's willingness to struggle with these questions makes it attractive to many.
You know, it's just a reflection of, you know, different values coming to a head and people of different values living together. I mean, I think that's really important, and I think a lot of people want to be a part of that, even if it's more difficult.
And in that way, Cherokee's more than just a neighborhood. It's representative of St. Louis. Like most neighborhoods in the city, it's a number of communities living together, next to each other, on top of each other. And figuring out how to do that can be a struggle. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold, St. Louis Public Radio.